Hey, it's Bantam, and this is the Digital Song Podcast. It's time to hack destiny. Chapter 16, Over My Head, Jason.
Red rectangle, sphere, law, crescent moon, treble clef. Yellow circle. A woman with pale skin, jet black hair, and black irises stands naked, ankle deep in the still of a bankless river, shimmering with colors like an oil slick from the light of the gloaming. Afterglow fills the empty sky like watercolors, faded together in seamless gradients on a canvas. Her obsidian glossy hair is pasted to the back of her head, cut in angular fashion, right where her neck meets her shoulders, like it had been laid on a cutting board and chopped with a cleaver. She stands perfectly still, marble white, and unnaturally statuesque, sculpted like a Kuro's, legs only inches apart, arms held in place at her sides, breasts stationary, looking at Jason with fully black eyes, irises swallowed by black sclera. Her impassive mouth, unblinking eyes held Jason's gaze for an eternal second in a timeless grip, until she lifted one arm parallel to the ground, palm upturned. Her mouth opened into a vertical oval, and she let out an inhuman noise, like an amalgamation of a screech, television snow, a rumbling purr, and a 100-person choir. Even though it sounded like several tracks of noise superimposed on one another, Jason understood the meaning. Jason. She dropped her arm slowly, turned her head and body robotically, and walked into the river, causing the glassy, smooth water to gently ripple away from her, as with every stride, the level rose on her body, from her ankles to her calves, up the backs of her knees, to her buttocks, her lower back, her shoulders, wetting her hair, until the quicksilver water engulfed the top of her head. Jason knew he had to follow her. He jumped forward into the water in clumsy fashion, compared to the mechanical grace of the black-eyed angel in front of him. The silver water was cold on his skin. As it climbed up his body to his chest, he felt comfort and nostalgia as tangible as the water that surrounded him. He experienced warmth from that presence, and thus shed all apprehension the situation might have presented for him. He knew that he would go underwater, submerge his head, not knowing or understanding what he would find, what he would become, what he would learn there. Nevertheless, he felt no fear and no doubt. He took a calm breath and dove. A dead woman on a divan.
Jason woke abruptly, eyes flashing open.
What the fuck?
A new vision, the black-eyed angel. He did not know what it meant, but she seemed to guide him underwater and back into his recurring dream of the compass rose. He did not know why, but he felt like this being or monster or entity was behind his recurring dreams, the compass rose, the pyramid club, everything. Jason had been celebrating Mac Mason's victory over the past several days. He had treated himself to fine meals at elite New York restaurants. In the evenings, he met Corrine to introduce chemicals into his system to distract himself from the dreams of the compass rose, though all his attempts had been futile. He even accepted an impromptu interview with an investigative colorcaster who asked him about Anton's death and about the Tobias Blackburn case, thinking that would draw his thoughts away from the persistent imagery from his dreams. Corrine made a fine companion for seeking sensory pleasure. She knew where to get the best drugs, she maintained friendships with people involved in the bar and restaurant scene, and her UD gave her real-time updates of the coolest underground parties happening in all the boroughs and nearby Jersey. Most importantly, when Jason acted distant, she did not hold it against him. Since their first discussion, Corrine had taken it upon herself to be Jason's underworld guide, trying to help Jason find the place with the red door and pyramid symbol, no matter how many hedonistic detours the road took them on. Through these acts of service, Corrine had earned Jason's trust, and he had earned hers. She did not ask about his history, and he likewise did not ask about hers. When together, they existed only in the present with an eye to the future, a proponent of fate and a disenchanted believer of chance trying to navigate the eddies of time together. He knew that she cared about him, though he was not sure if she thought of him as a romantic prospect, a friend, or a pitiful seeker that needed guidance. Nevertheless, she seemed to want to help him forget his persistent dreams and painful memories. When he woke up that next morning after an outing with Corrine, he had no client meetings or court appearances scheduled, so he decided to go into the office to organize and close out Mac's file now that the case was won. Jason gently slid off the bed, puffy-eyed and foggy-minded. He threw on jeans, a t-shirt, digitally knit slip-on boots that stretched over his sore feet, wrapped himself in a coat, and ambled to his office suite in a mental haze, through the gusty, ice-prickly city air, tinged with the scent of subway steam pushed up through metal grates.
Good morning, sunshine,
Tara said as Jason stepped through the door.
You hungover?
He shrugged.
I look that bad, huh?
Maybe the envelope on your chair will perk you up.
Envelope?
Yeah, looks pretty ornate, like a fancy invitation or something.
Who's it from?
No return address, but it's probably some kind of client payment. Let's hope it's enough for me to get a bonus.
Tara winked at him.
Kayla has been begging me for the newest Arbor Vizzies for her Metaverse VR games. And Bryce, he wants an electric scooter.
Kayla and Bryce were Tara's kids, 13 and 5 years old, respectively.
They're such great kids.
They asked how you were. Yesterday, Kayla even told me she missed when you and Anton would come over and cook them dinner. When Bryce asked who Anton was, he must have passed when Bryce was like 3. Kayla described him as the guy with the big smile and the loud laugh who knew everything about computers.
The description of Anton was beautiful, but Jason still felt a sting in his chest.
We all miss him,
Tara said.
Yeah, but I still have you and the kids. I have to be there for you. Be present. I'm sorry, Tara. I've been the worst.
I know you've been overwhelmed, but you're really important to us.
I'll work on it. It's just...
Jason stammered.
I'm losing my mind a bit.
Still not sleeping?
A series of images from his dreams flashed through his mind. The dead woman, the pyramid and star symbol over the red door, the black-eyed angel on the bankless river.
Not really. Can't focus on anything.
Well, hopefully that envelope contains good news and gives you a boost.
Thanks.
He attempted to smile at Tara, who grinned back. Then he trudged to his office. A large eggshell envelope waited on his desk. The sight of a paper envelope was unusual. It had been years since Jason had received a physical letter. He picked up the envelope and inspected it. It was a fine cotton paper with florid calligraphy. Jason Sola, Esquire, was written in the center. There were no stamps, return addresses, or markings elsewhere on the envelope.
It's heavier than paper, weighty like a thin sheet of metal,
Jason thought as he turned the envelope upside down in his hands. An imprinted maroon wax seal secured the envelope's flaps. His heart stopped when he saw the imprint. It was the pyramid and star symbol that hovered above the red door in his dreams, the Pyramid Club. He tore open the envelope. Shreds of thick paper drifted to the ground as he pulled out the thinnest slate device he had ever seen, along with a paper card. The device was razor-thin, black, and opaque, like a mirror shingle or solar panel. Jason had read about such high-tech devices in passing. He had a slate device, but this one was different. It was a paper-thin leaf device, or LD, as they were known colloquially. LDs were not widely available to consumers because of how expensive they were to manufacture. But now Jason was holding one in his hand, admiring its glossy screen. He picked up the accompanying card with his free hand. It was a foil for the cutting-edge shiny LD made of fine cotton and linen eggshell paper. It had Geo Mason's signature M written in a large, stylized hand on the outside, the letters fluid-like, mimicking inky swirls in water. Jason held the film-thin LD device in one hand while he read the note that he held in the other.
December 28th, 2039. Thank you for helping my son. This is well-deserved payment for your services, and it is more significant than money. Follow the instructions on the leaf device. Patience and trust are the currency required for access. Geo. P.S. You will need a nicer suit.
Jason looked at his hands, held apart in front of him. Each hand held one of the objects from the envelope, the LD and the card. He stared, mouth hanging agape, until the LD changed from an almost reflective obsidian black into a generator of its own gentle dim light. A voice suddenly emanated from the device, startling him.
Welcome to the song program.
The disembodied voice rang out through Jason's office. It sounded to Jason like a woman with a deep voice and a soothing cadence.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Song, the Song Program's user interface assistant. Please hold up the leaf device for facial recognition. This is the first step of our authentication process.
A three-dimensional graphic depicting a generic mannequin head with grid lines over its contours appeared on the LD screen, demonstrating how the LD should be moved around the head to complete the scan. Jason held the Song Program LD in front of his face, which showed his reflection.
Please look at the device and hold it in front of your face. Move the device around to the sides of your head, as if you were looking into the device like a mirror, inspecting your ears, chin, and scalp.
This whole thing is a cheap trick,
he thought.
Just adding AI is an easy gimmick to make something seem high-tech. AI voices have been able to emulate human speech since the 2010s and even respond to human questions in real time since the early 2020s. This AI voice has got to be that kind of technology, like a hybrid Alexa or ChatGPT, or like one of the other generative AI tools built by OpenAI, Anthropic, or Google, or whatever comparable platform lets you simulate audio based on 10 seconds of a person's voice.
On cue with his thoughts, the LD voice spoke.
Jason, I'm sorry I've made you skeptical of the process. To maintain high levels of security, however, you must follow my directions and undergo this preliminary facial recognition screening and in personam second factor authentication process before we can truly communicate. This security check will unlock the song program for your use. Biagio Mason went to great lengths to give you access, which is strictly controlled and rarely given. This is the extent of the information I may give you until you complete the security check.
In personam second factor authentication process?
Jason thought. He warily raised the LD and slowly rotated it around as instructed, copying the graphic on the LD. As he moved the device around his head, the grid lines started to warp slightly, and the generic head began to turn into a realistic model of Jason's own head and face. The LD emitted a realistic bell ring, signifying that Jason had completed his verification task. The voice from the device self-identifying as Song said,
Thank you. Facial recognition scans complete. The next phase of verification is the in personam second factor authentication.
Jason continued to be puzzled at the phrase, but even as he thought about what it meant, the LD voice continued to speak.
You will be sent a PIN within the next hour for further access.
How will I get a PIN number within a few hours?
Jason thought. Perplexed, he expected a digital message notification to pop up on his UD and display a series of numbers or letters that he would manually input into the song program, which was a typical two-factor authentication method used for enhanced cybersecurity. He was confused when he looked at the song program screen to see a sentence appear against its shiny, slick, obsidian black background. You will be sent a PIN in the next hour for further access.
What the fuck does that mean?
Jason scoffed. He scrutinized the LD, tilting it and manipulating it, hoping it would reveal more information. He had been trained by society to expect instant gratification and fulfillment. Instant deliveries, instant text message responses. And with the advent of branch technology and UDs, there was no lag between the thought of a specific desire and that desire manifesting. He cursed to himself and put the song program on his desk, then returned to the task of organizing Mac's case files to occupy his mind, glancing at the LD with a suspicious squint every few minutes. Jason frowned as the thought of the Mason's payment bounced around his brain disappointingly like guitar chords strummed by a neophyte player. The LD was a cutting-edge piece of tech, true, but Jason felt that he could have purchased his own device if he cared to, and the device's value did not match those of the services he rendered to Mac.
A gift superior to money. Bullshit.
As he clicked and dragged a text file to his case archive, his UD awoke with a start. Tara was calling him, so he activated his thought lock code and mentally commanded Branch to answer.
There's a man here who asked for you. What would you like me to tell him? He politely declined to give his name, but said he's a friend.
Just some random guy, and he won't give his name? That's bizarre. This is a law office. If he won't give more details, we can't help him.
He says he's making a special delivery. Delivering something for the song program?
The hairs on the back of Jason's neck tingled like they were bewitched by a static electricity spell.
Do you know what he's talking about?
Jason shot out of his chair.
It's okay, tell him to sit tight. I'll be out in a second.
Without even waiting for her response, Jason bounded out of his office as if he were being propelled by rockets in his feet. A well-dressed man with a military-style fade haircut stood in the center of the co-op's lobby. He was tall, legs shoulder-width apart, hands crossed in front of his body. His biceps bulged, pushing the fabric of his sharkskin suit sleeves, outlining their contours. His immense tree trunk neck and shoulders seemed to grow out of his black turtleneck like thick roots pushing up through asphalt. He had a black leather courier bag slung across one shoulder and stood near the door to the office, unmoving. As soon as Jason stepped into the lobby, the man seemed to animate, turning from statue to human.
Emsola?
The man stated in a nasally voice.
Yes,
Jason replied. The man walked right up to him.
I'm here to deliver your pin for the Pyramid Club and your access to the song program LD. Please allow me to run a brief facial recognition scan to confirm your identity.
Jason nodded. The well-dressed man looked at his courier bag, removed what appeared to be another LD, which he lifted between his face and Jason's. The man's square jaw clenched as he rhythmically danced with the device inches from Jason's nose, his sightline fixed upon the screen.
What the hell is going on right now?
Jason's inner privacy advocate triggered the alarm bells and warning klaxons in his head.
Excuse me, can you tell me?
Just one more second.
The man's LD made a sound like a chime and he lowered it from Jason's face.
Thanks for your cooperation.
The man extended his suited arm toward Jason, opening an upturned fist to reveal a small pyramidal jewelry box.
Your pin, sir,
said the man as he looked piercingly and intensely into Jason's face. Jason looked at the closed jewelry box.
Thank you,
he said, and warily reached for the box, taking it in his hand.
See you at the club, sir,
the man said, then spun on his heels and strode out of the lobby, his shiny black leather shoes like hooves clip-clopping to a human gait beat. Jason gazed at the almost perfect pyramid jewelry box.
The club?
After a few moments, Jason looked up to see Tara standing behind her desk.
What was that all about?
She asked with a specific, mischievous, toothy grin that Jason knew only crossed her face when something exciting or dramatic was happening, like when he planned to surreptitiously collect evidence about a client's accuser or make an ethically dubious ultimatum to a prosecution snitch witness.
It's nothing,
Jason said quickly.
Really, it's no big deal. It's just an unorthodox means of payment.
Tara tilted her head slightly, unconvinced.
Is it from the Masons? I remember the vague retainer agreement we wrote for them,
she said.
If something weird is going on, you better let me know.
It's definitely weird.
Jason felt uneasy not being completely forthright with her about the delivery of this pin. It felt almost like a breach of her trust. Then again, he was not even sure what he was getting himself into. His rapid heartbeats and footfalls seemed synced as he bounded to his office. He closed the door behind him, strode over to his chair, sat down, and put the pyramidal jewelry box on his desk. He stared at it for a moment, then picked it up again and opened it. Wedged between two small fabric pillows was a literal pin, one that he had seen before, on the lapel of Geo Mason. Chapter 17. Infinite Games. Jason. For a simple pin, it evoked an intense emotional reaction. Jason simultaneously felt a surge of heat and a sense of relief. Amid a swirl of confusion, the pin looked like a pyramid with a star over its apex. It was identical to the pin he saw on Geo Mason's lapel when they met, and it was the symbol above the red door in his dreams. Suddenly, the song program LD illuminated.
"Thank you for your patience, Jason,"
said the deep female voice of the digital assistant calling itself Song as he held the pin and inspected.
"Now that you have your pin in hand, you are ready to be fully onboarded as a user of the Song program and welcomed as a member of the Pyramid Club."
The Pyramid Club,
Jason thought, amazed that Corrine had guessed its name. He examined the Song program LD, which no longer displayed a text banner across an empty black screen. Now that it had been activated, it showed a simple user interface with several boxes arranged in a matrix with headings like Investments, Non-Disclosure Agreement and Contract of Service, Membership Services, Schedule, and Account. The Non-Disclosure Agreement box was traced in green, while the other boxes were traced in red. Jason tapped the Investments box, but it issued a short, quiet tone indicative of an error. He pressed the box several times fruitlessly. At that moment, Song's deep voice chimed in.
"Jason, before you can proceed any further, you must sign a non-disclosure agreement, NDA for short. The NDA is relatively standard. It is meant to protect the exclusivity and secrecy of the Pyramid Club, which is an essential ingredient of its success. The contract of service outlines the parameters and member rules. You must read and sign those in order to gain access to membership privileges."
Jason tapped the box that said Non-Disclosure Agreement and Contract of Service, and read through the text of the NDA, then signed it. It gave a cause of action to the Pyramid Club against a person who disclosed any information, photographs, videos, or other media about the workings, activities, people associated with the club, or present at club events. Much of the Contract of Service contained boilerplate language, but Jason noticed a few material points. No inviting guests without properly vetting them in advance through Pyramid Club, hereinafter, the club, governance and or leadership. Absolutely no discussing the club with non-members. The club emphasizes personal security, data security, and information security. Any breaches in security, theft of a song program LD, for instance, must be reported immediately. No club member or any other person or entity shall enter the club premises with a UD or other digital device with communication capabilities, that is, cellular, mesh, 6G, Wi-Fi, etc. Such devices may be scanned if they enter club premises, and they may be confiscated by club staff. This rule is intended to protect the privacy of club members and the integrity of the club's sophisticated network. Four pillars of authentication underpin the club's security protocols: physical, collective, digital, and human. Without all four pillars satisfied, LDs will prohibit access to club membership perks, doors to the club will not open, and alarms will alert security personnel if uncleared persons enter the premises. To enter the club, member must possess his or club-issued PIN, which satisfies the first pillar of physical authentication. No person will be admitted to the club unless they had received a prior vote by a quorum of members. If a quorum has been reached, the second pillar of collective authentication will be satisfied. The third pillar of security requires digital authentication. All members will automatically have his or biometrics checked as they enter the club or as they use the Song Program LD, and the biometric data collected in real time will be cross-checked against the member's biometric data stored in the PIN. The fourth and final pillar requires a qualified human being to confirm the validity of the first three pillars of authentication, In other words, a security guard checks that the person's membership had been previously approved by a vote of the club members, that the PIN corresponds to that specific member, and that the digital biometric readings at the time of entry match that member's biometric profile. The Song Program LD contains a powerful signal jammer for an additional layer of security, temporarily disabling all electronic devices, like UDs, that use interweb or Web 5 connectivity, stifling all signals emitted by those devices in the vicinity. Signal jamming nodes installed throughout the club emit a signal that jams outbound cellular, mesh, 6G, or Wi-Fi signals and alerts club management to the existence of any unauthorized signals on club premises. The club's security measures baffled Jason.
No UDs.
Even in court, he could use his UD. Did that mean Branch would be deactivated? He wondered about the strange intensity of the security measures and marveled at the ostensibly sophisticated technology. If the Song Program LD could indeed disable all electronics in the room, its engineers must be true tech wizards. He thought about how the four-pillar authentication seemed to cover any possible covert infiltration of the club. It thus occurred to Jason that the degree of security in the club and the Song Program must be in place to protect important secrets or people. He signed the contract and hit the Accept button, unsure of what to expect. Then, his computer went blank, his UD went blank, and his slate device, which he used for cases, went blank just before Song spoke up again.
Thank you for your patience during the tedious but necessary security process. When you are ready, there is a tutorial video about the Pyramid Club that I would suggest watching to get your bearings.
Jason responded by saying,
okay.
Even though he felt his response was meaningless, since Song was just a dumb AI. Then, the user interface on the Song Program dissolved into a blank black screen and a professional grade video began to play, narrated by what sounded like Song's voice.
Jason Sola, Pyramid Club's newest member. We welcome you to our exclusive community of elite professionals, brought together to escape the connectivity of the world, leverage business opportunities through high-level personal networks, and invest with confidence in a technologically secure and protected environment. You will have access through the Song Program to your many perks of your membership. The unique investment modality is achieved by a one-of-a-kind protocol on a private, decentralized blockchain. Pyramid Club members receive access to live market data more comprehensive than the data and documents provided by a Bloomberg terminal or Messery portal via their Song Program LDs, which also contain prospecti and other investment literature. At each Pyramid Club event, members will be presented with investment opportunities, which they ultimately have the option to vote upon. For each vote, the member may use his or tokenized funds to stake positions in the various investments. The native token on the platform, the Song token, also allows the member to vote on governance issues surrounding any particular Pyramid Club fund, much like shareholders would in a corporation. This arrangement is known as a decentralized autonomous organization, or DAO. Only the Song token can be used to capitalize on Pyramid Club fund-backed investments. The Pyramid Club fund is held up by smart contracts built into the Song Program platform. Our smart contracts are programmed codes that execute investments automatically, without needing a human being to do so, eliminating human error, unnecessary costs, and intermediaries. In addition to voting on various investment decisions and governance issues, members may anticipate profits from dividend-like payouts proportional to the tokens they staked as a part of their share of equity in assets in any particular investment. The tokenization of assets in this manner allows personal and direct involvement in prospective investment decisions by all staked members. In terms of return on investment ROI payouts, if the member chooses a fiat currency payout, like US dollars for instance, a management fee of 5% of the ROI is deducted for the club. If the member chooses, however, to be paid his or ROI in Song tokens, the member will receive his or tokens in equivalent value to the ROI, plus an additional 7% payout bonus from the club's Song token reserves. Members are thus incentivized to receive their earnings in Song tokens. The Song token is pegged 50 to 1 to the US dollar. Members can only convert 2.5 million Song tokens into fiat currency from their accounts at a time, and the conversion is subject to special approval protocols. This structure gives the investment platform liquidity and flexibility, and further incentivizes members to support the native Song token and its ecosystem.
The Song program continued to describe the success of Pyramid Polaris Holdings, the club's parent company. Across all investments, Pyramid Polaris Holdings had a stratospheric average return on investment of around 31% annually. To Jason, the soaring figure sounded too good to be true. Jason recognized several well-known companies in the portfolio, including Parabola, revolutionizing instant cross-border value transfer on UDs, supplanting SWIFT and automated clearinghouse systems; Grapple Cryptography, the most prominent and trusted quantum cryptography company; DeepCert, media verification solution; Rayjay Web Mesh Network, the first mass-adopted global decentralized mesh internet network; BioVid Pharmaceuticals, uniquely focused on viral protein mapping and rapid response vaccine production; and most impressively, Arbor Systems, responsible for the best-selling Vizzies and the first mind-controlled UD and the company behind Branch and ThoughtLock. Jason was stunned.
How does this company that is so secret get its hands into so many incredible investments?
After the video run-through of the various investments made by the club, the Song program listed services that accepted the Song token as payment at a discount, including a custom suit and tuxedo maker, restaurants, golf courses, and luxury car services. Jason recognized the names of the high-end retailers and restaurants on the list of places that accepted Song tokens. Generally, businesses and merchants in the city accepted cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, the gold standard of cryptocurrency, as well as some less ubiquitous tokens like Algorand, Seller, Ethereum, and Cardano, which were accepted by most vendors, restaurants, bars, and iTaxis, all with the simple tap of one's UD. But Jason had never heard of or seen Song tokens used before, and was astounded at the elite vendors that accepted the proprietary cryptocurrency. Overwhelmed, Jason could only stare at the Song program LD. The disembodied voice of Song, soothing and deep, extracted Jason from his stunned state.
The next Pyramid Club event is in just over 1 week, on the evening of Saturday, January 5th, 2040. As you previously read in the contract, you must use Song tokens to hire car services listed in the Song program to get to the club. At a discounted rate, I might add.
So, I don't have any Song tokens,
Jason said, confused.
How can I get some?
The question was directed at the Song voice, although he said it into the air of his office, as if there were someone in the room with him.
Well, Jason, the Song program allows you to link a bank account or debit card through Plaid or Parabola. Instructions can be found here,
Song said, as graphics popped on the LD screen navigating to a section of the Account page that said Link to Bank or Transfer Digital Assets.
If you wish, you can make a wire transfer through your bank, although that is not recommended. There are numerous ways you can transfer fiat currency to our account using the Song program. Since the Song program is protected by cutting-edge cybersecurity and signal jamming, you should not worry about your funds being hacked. Your digital fiat currency and your Song tokens live in their own respective cold wallets. In other words, they are stored on this LD, disconnected from the internet to prevent unauthorized and/or external access.
Song continued after a brief pause.
But Jason, you need not worry about converting fiat currency into Song tokens at this time. I am sure you will find the amount transferred to your account by Biagio Mason to be sufficient for your purposes. I'll display your Song account balance.
At that moment, the screen on the Song program changed, displaying words and numbers against a black background. The screen read, "The Pyramid Club and Song Program Interface. Your account, investments, current positions, none. Annual ROI, none. Future projects, by voting date deadline, none. Actions, deposit, withdraw, transfer. Balances, USD 0.00, Song 55 million. Jason's jaw fell open, hanging like a drawer pulled almost all the way out of an armoire, seemingly about to clatter to the ground.
55 million song tokens are worth just over $1 million if converted all at once.
For a split second, Jason wondered how Geo Mason could afford to give him such a gift.
You will need upscale clothes. I would suggest a high-end suit or tuxedo. Shall I arrange an appointment with one of our partner tailors to make you a custom tux?
Would a custom suit be ready for the next club event?
Yes,
replied the song voice.
Knowing you would be onboarded today, I initiated the process already by telling three of the most highly rated tailors on our list to expect you this week. I also submitted your suit measurements to them, with some suggestions for fabrics and styles based on your taste.
How do you know my style and my measurements?
To determine your preferred style, I ran predictive data analytics on your clothing based on 32 years worth of publicly available information about you, including pictures, discussions, comments taken from social media, the internet, and Web 5. I also was able to de-anonymize some of your past purchases using ad tech data I either scraped or obtained from data brokers. For your measurements, I used algorithmic models to guess your size based on the same available public information. I analyzed pictures of you, compared your height, width, body shape, etc., to nearby objects of known sizes. Think of it as algorithmic eyeballing.
The measurements flashed on the screen in front of Jason, alongside several fabric types.
This is incredible,
he thought, goose flesh rising on his arms as he considered the volume of data about him online.
Jason, I can tell you are apprehensive about my data aggregation capabilities, but I assure you the data I collected is safe. Anything I find about you and use is stored in decentralized servers and encrypted. The club takes data protection and cybersecurity seriously. The security and well-being of our members is paramount. To demonstrate how important your membership is to the club, allow me to conduct a scrub of your publicly available data. I can identify and remove a significant proportion of it from the interwebs and Web 5, so it is no longer available for others to acquire.
You can do that?
Yes.
Is it legal?
Generally, I use legal channels, but regardless, you have plausible deniability.
Jason pressed his lips together, not immediately sure what to think about the fact that a disembodied AI assistant just volunteered to erase data on the interwebs and Web 5 controlled by others. A silence hung in the air like a heavy bubble until Jason spoke, popping it.
Fuck it.
The exclamation was his way of approving Song's vigilante privacy scrub of his information. He realized he loved that he might be able to take back control of his data.
Song.
His lips curled slightly into his first smile in months.
Let's set up that appointment with one of the tailors.
Thanks for listening to the Digital Song Podcast. Please subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. All writing is 100% original and human imagined and created by me, Bantam Drexler. All editing and audio engineering done by me. Original music by me, augmented by Suno. Podcast voice audio generated using 11 Labs. Copyright Bantam Drexler. Follow me on any of the socials, at Bantam Drexler, or check me out at bantamdrexler.com. See you in the future.